Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. And we're going to pick up here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're here in chapter number 1. And we've been looking at verse 6 over the last couple of episodes, which says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And we left off last time looking at some of the things related to the pattern, this idea of being followers of us, followers of the Apostle Paul, and exactly what that means related to a member of the body of Christ today. And what we're going to be looking at in this episode is really something that is a glorious truth for all the members of the body of Christ to really realize, because one of the things that happens is individuals get themselves trapped in an idea of that they have to be placed in a performance system because they have to keep from actually having an issue of sin come up in their life. And what we see is that the Apostle Paul really does deal with this and talks about how what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross at Calvary really does take care of the issue of sin. And I want to start over here. Let's go to the book of Romans. We're going to Romans chapter number 6, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul make a statement here related to an issue of sin when he says here in verse number 14 of Romans 6, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And we see that the issue is that the member of the body of Christ is not under the law, is under the grace of God. And because a member of the body of Christ is under the grace of God, he has nothing to do with the law, that the whole issue of sin not having dominion over us is a reality. And it's a reality for any member of the body of Christ. So once a person puts their trust in the gospel and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone, which gives a person their salvation, giving them the gift of eternal life, once that happens, the reality of what verse 14 of Romans 6 is true, that a person is not under the law, they're under grace, and sin does not have dominion over them. Sin has no reality in the life of a member of the body of Christ today. When I say this, I'm looking at the idea of how sin is actually defined related to an idea of something being placed on someone's account that could put them in a standing where they were contrary to God. We see a definition of sin that's given for us. If we go over to 1 John chapter number 3, we're going to see John is actually going to define sin in a manner that we're going to see that this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of for us today. And here in 1 John chapter number 3, I want to read here verse number 4, and it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So the whole issue of sin, as John is defining it in 1 John chapter number 3, is the fact that sin is the transgression of the law. And that's the sin that the Apostle Paul, when he says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The sin that's the transgression of the law, The only thing that can result from that is the idea of death. Now, the death that's being described here in Romans chapter number 6, that's not a physical death that's being described. You know, the scriptures do indicate and use that word death to describe several different things. The death here in Romans chapter number 6, verse 23, actually deals with the idea of a person being cast into the lake of fire. An individual having that eternal separation from God as a result of the condition that they're in. Because they still have this sin on them, the only thing that can result from it is that they would be cast into the lake of fire, because God cannot have a relationship with sin. This is why the Apostle Paul's talking about us and says that sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin cannot be part of the life of a believer today. Because if there's an issue of sin, then we've got a major problem, because the sacrifice on the cross took care of the whole entire issue of sin related to something that could separate us from God the Father. Something that could separate us from the whole entire Godhead. Something that could take us from being able to have that role that we're supposed to have, ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places for all of eternity. If sin was something that could be there, that whole thing would all be in jeopardy. That's why what you see happens is that the law has to be taken out of the way. That's why, you know, the verse that we started with looking in Romans chapter 6 verse 14 talks about, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." The law was taken away at the cross, nailed to the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you see the descriptions that before you even come to this passage of Romans 6, you see the Apostle Paul deals with this in the preceding chapters of the book. Let's go to Romans chapter number 4. Now remember that definition of sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. So when we get to Romans chapter number 4 and read verse number 15, where it says, "Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." And you know that makes perfect sense, because you cannot transgress something that doesn't exist. So if the law has been taken out of the way, then the idea of transgression has to be taken away. And if we're seeing those two things going away, we can obviously see why the whole issue of sin has been dealt with already. We go over to chapter number 5, which is going to, you know, reaffirm what we just looked at in chapter number 4, but it's going to really state it outright here in chapter number 5 and verse number 13 of Romans, when it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." The idea of imputation is that something being placed onto the account of an individual. And if sin is not imputed to the individual, and it cannot be because there is no law, there is no transgression, that whole issue of sin has already been dealt with. And that, like I said, it's such a glorious thing to truly understand, to truly realize that our performance has nothing to do with either earning or maintaining the salvation that we're supposed to have, that we have when we put our trust in the gospel message. That's why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter number 3, when he starts laying out what happens to the individual when they've put their trust in the gospel message. And here in Romans chapter number 3, let's start at verse number 23, when it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all that's pointing out is that all individuals have an issue that needs to be taken care of related to sin. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. The word propitiation, all that means is a satisfactory payment through faith in his blood. So it's the blood that takes care of the issue of sin. We know that from reading in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, there's a time word that's actually put here in Romans chapter number 3 when it says, for the remission of sins that are past. And individuals immediately jump on that and say, well, what happens to the present and future sins that an individual could commit? And that's where you get into the idea of, you know, some people start talking about, well, you have to confess those sins to God. You still have to do some works to maintain your righteousness. Others will take that and say, well, they get this whole thing, well, all of our sins were past, you know, related to what happened on the cross. Or, you know, we just have to understand the past. It's really meaning past, present, and future. But the real idea with it is that the sin issue is past because the law has been taken out of the way, and it's impossible for us to actually commit that sin. Now, if you've read through the Apostle Paul's epistles, you know that he does, even with the idea of identifying the fact that this sin has been taken care of, he does use the word sin throughout his epistles. You know, and this is just like we had talked about what we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, about how the word death is used to describe multiple things. The word sin is used to describe multiple things. And the Apostle Paul is going to define the issue of this sin that he talks about through his epistles, the sin that a believer can actually commit today. If we go over to Romans chapter number 14. Now remember, the sin that's the transgression of the law, the things of what happens when somebody did that is, you know, that's the wrath, that's the death, that's separation from God. That's all of those things that are, you know, separate us from who God is. But we see here in Romans chapter 14, I want to read here in verse number 23, that the Apostle Paul is going to define something else here as sin. And this sin is going to have a completely different definition, and it's going to have a completely different end result if an individual commits this sin today. And here in Romans chapter 14, verse number 23, it says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So where one definition of sin is the idea of transgression of the law, we see that the Apostle Paul also defines the idea of sin and says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, we know where faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's information that's laid out for us in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, the information that he wants us to grow in, you know, some of the things that we started talking about in our last episode of where a person comes unto the knowledge of the truth, they understand how it is that they're supposed to live, and a person, if they're doing the right thing, you know, God, that's what God wants them to do, they're building up the rewards, the gold, silver, and precious stones that are going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ. And if they don't do the right thing, you know, it's not the idea of a person facing that eternal death, that separation from God. The end result of committing this sin here in Romans chapter 14 is the idea that a person builds the wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. having an impact on the rewards that they were supposed to have. And that's why you see the Apostle Paul, as he gives some of that practical information for the members of the body of Christ. Let's go over here to the book of Ephesians, and we'll go to here to Ephesians chapter number 4, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul actually is going to actually use the word sin as he's describing something here for the member of the body of Christ. When he says here in verse number 26 of Ephesians 4, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now, the whole issue is, it's not the anger that's the sin. It's the end result that comes from the anger at times of where, because somebody has gotten angry and they don't know how to properly deal with it, they end up doing something to negatively impact another individual. And because the Word of God is telling us that we're supposed to be demonstrating the love of Christ for individuals, if we're reacting in anger to certain things and functioning outside of where God would intend us to do, that's what results in the idea of sin going into the whatsoever is not of faith, that would actually have an impact on the rewards that we should have. And that's why you see the whole issue of individuals really trying to look at, you know, the members of the body of Christ today and say, you know, "I'm going to look and watch you and see what it is that you're supposed to do," because people are waiting for the failures that are going to happen, because the end result of it is that, you know, unfortunately for all of us, you know, we're not going to have a 100% thing of where we're going to always follow exactly the doctrine that's laid out in Paul's epistles. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things of where the Apostle Paul talks about. Let's go over to Galatians chapter number 5, where you see Paul talks about a struggle that goes on in the individual's life. Now, in Galatians chapter number 5, he's already dealt with the idea of the law not being in place, when in verse 1 he says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That the idea that the person is not to be trying to put themselves under a law system, but you see that he actually talks about what happens for an individual here, because an individual is really supposed to do, if you skip down to verse 13, you see how it is that we're supposed to be functioning when it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's how we're supposed to be functioning, how we're supposed to be reacting, is that we're supposed to be serving one another in love. And that's where, if you remember back in our verse in Ephesians chapter number 4, where it says, "Be ye angry and sin not," if I'm functioning by the thing, by love serving another, even in my anger, I'm not doing things that are contrary to what God would have me to do, and I'm not going to be doing the things that would be resulting committing that sin, which is the whatsoever is not of faith. But you see, he brought up this whole idea of the flesh. You skip down now to verse number 16, where you're going to again see the Apostle Paul deal with this when he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now, when you actually read this passage, the one thing that you actually see in this is the idea, he doesn't say the idea of walk in the Spirit and ye shall not walk in the flesh. He never talks about a believer having any ability to walk in the flesh today. When you hear somebody talking about the idea and saying that, you know, I was in the spirit in this moment, and I was walking in the flesh when I did this. You know, that's wrong according to everything that the Apostle Paul would say, because anyone that's in the flesh, the only thing that can result by being in the flesh, now I want to come back to this concept in Galatians chapter number 5, but what I read here, I'm reading Romans chapter number 8, you know, what the Apostle Paul says about individuals who are in the flesh, verse 1 of Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of death. You know, that's the whole idea of what we've been talking about, being made free from sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you see this whole idea that the Lord Jesus Christ is who accomplished all of this for us, because we would never have been able to do this in of ourselves, because you know, no man could possibly have kept every part of the law. And because it was he who did it, the only way that we can be pleasing to God is by the fact that we're walking after the Spirit. And he talks about, and I want to read verse 1 of Romans 8 again, because this points out the reality of when somebody says that they could walk after the flesh, when it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if I'm walking after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. By the same token of this verse, if I'm walking after the flesh, there's condemnation. If there's condemnation, then the end result is if I've lost my salvation. And that's something that the Apostle Paul has said could never happen to a member of the body of Christ today, because we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It is impossible for a person to walk after the flesh today. What they can do is when we go back to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 16, where it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the reality of things is, we still walk around in a fleshly body that has a lust, that has desires, that wants to do things that's contrary to what the Word of God actually says. And so, our choice is that we either walk in the Spirit, we're doing the right things, or where we stop walking in the Spirit, we're not walking in the flesh, we're fulfilling the lust in the flesh, and we've just hit a complete standstill in our Christian walk. That's a big difference between, you know, jumping back and forth, walking in something to where, you know, the reality is I would be walking in something that I've lost my salvation, and that I would somehow be gaining it back again. And the only way we'd be gaining it back again, if we use what the scriptures would be talking about, is that the Lord Jesus Christ would have to be sacrificed again to take care of that issue of sin. That's why the whole issue comes up in the book of Hebrews. Those people who are under the law system, that if they go contrary to the doctrine, that they will have no hope, because the Lord Jesus Christ will not be sacrificed again. The whole end result of when we talk about this idea of functioning as this example, is functioning as what we've been looking at here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, when it says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, that the idea is that, you know, there's a twofold responsibility comes about with this. One is that I function as a pattern for the other members of the body of Christ, so that way they can see how they're supposed to live. And you see a lot of passages that talk about those things. For, you know, big section is you go into Titus chapter number 2, and you see the Apostle Paul talk a lot about how those who are the elders, those who have been around in the body of Christ for a while, teaching the younger individuals how to live the life that God intends for. That's the pattern that comes about. The other result is that we're supposed to be function as lights unto this lost world. So we should be living our lives in a pattern to where individuals can look at and see that there is something different about who we are as the members of the body of Christ. Because if our life looks exactly like everybody else out there in the world, and they're looking for the hope that comes from the gospel, you know, and then you start preaching the gospel to them, the only thing that they're going to look at is look at your life and go, well, I don't want to be like that. And if that message is going to be what it's going to lead to, then they're obviously going to try to put themselves under some sort of performance-based system, which is what most of Christianity today is trying to teach and trying to put people under a system where, okay, you have to either earn or maintain the salvation that you think you have. Now, we're going to continue looking at some of these things in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of our messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday broadcast live on YouTube, and actually live on Facebook now, and also to, you know, join our Wednesday night Bible study as well. There's information about how to call in on the conference call option for that. And as always, we'd love to hear from each and every one of you. If you have any questions or comments about some things, you know, feel free to, you know, let us know. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.